Amen. It's good to be in the presence of Jesus Christ tonight, this evening. Good to see the bride and the groom, each and every one this evening. We truly appreciate all the guests who is here to witness the marriage of our brother and our sister this evening. Just want to sing a few songs here before the minister come up. Let's sing the song, Welcome, Welcome. Holy Spirit, we welcome thee. Without him being in our midst, our garden here will be in vain. But we want his blessing to be among each and every one of us. Thankful this evening that we could come and witness the marriage ceremony of our brother and our sister, Lord. And we are thankful that we could welcome you into our midst this evening, Father. Lord, without you, Father, Lord, this garden will just be in vain, Father. But with your divine presence, Lord, we know that each and every one of us could witness, Lord, what you have done for us already, Father. Lord God, I pray that your blessing be with us as we sing these songs, as each and every one of us will contribute our part, Lord, that our brother and our sister, Lord, will have such a memorable day today to know that, Lord, you have made it possible that they could have this time of coming to be joined together in holy matrimony. Bless us, Lord, and even bless your manservant, even as we come forth in this hour, Lord, Father, even to minister, Lord, even on behalf of them, Father, may you bless each and every one In Jesus' name, amen. For the love of God is greater far. Amen. Let's sing a song.
The school contained the whole, nor could
death's cold. Hunting the whole. Those stretch from sky to sky. Those stretch from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. Oh, love of God.
Oh. thanksgiving and grace. Lord, for what you have done for us, the deepest appreciation in our hearts we come this evening, just thinking about your great love, thinking about how you care for us. So thankful that you could have taken our lives that were so crooked and in confusion, straighten it up, Lord, clean it up, and make it a day to be a token of your grace, something that could show forth the riches of your mercy. Only you could have done that for us, Father, because you are alive and you are real, because you care for us, Lord. Truly you said in your word, we seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, all other things shall be added. To know, dear God, only we could put you first in our hearts and our lives, we could have the greatest of confidence that all things will work together for good to them that love you and to them who are called even according to your purpose. As we have gathered here this evening to witness this marriage ceremony, Lord, we look unto you for direction and your leadership. We ask your blessing upon the couple, Lord, that is to be married, and upon all that is gathered here as witnesses, friends and relatives. Lord God, they are being specially invited by the couple because of the appreciation they have in their hearts for them, believing that on this special occasion they would have wanted them to be here to share it with them, Father. But most of all, we are thankful for you that you can be here. You're the very God who instituted marriage back in the Garden of Eden, who joined the first man and woman together in holy matrimony, when you said it was not good for the man to be alone. You are still here, Lord, still fulfilling your word. Just like you was in that wedding at Cana in Galilee, so you are here at this wedding in London, Wiltshire, Gornis this evening, almost 2,000 years after. Blessed be your wonderful name. I pray that you'll do something special today. I pray it will cause hearts to take note and to take consideration, hearts to be touched, to be attracted, Lord, to your love and to your will. As I pray you would speak something that would make it clear, and would cause us to see a more excellent way that we could walk in and we could live in this hour. And by our living, we could bring praise and glory unto your name. Have your way this evening, Father. Take full charge in this little service. We give you thanks in advance, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Before you have your seat, I'd like to read a little portion of God's word found in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and reading from verse 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may have a seat. I want to welcome all these gathered here this evening. We relax for the next few moments as we We'd like to speak shortly and go into the marriage ceremony. And we are very thankful for this opportunity to represent the Lord Jesus, that even on this occasion and for this purpose, as we are gathered in God's house, we could think about Him, what He has done, and take into consideration even what is happening here this evening, that this is something that was instituted by God. I don't know how many of us might be acquainted with the scripture just read, but if we are Christians, if we believe in this Bible, if we believe in creation, that God made man in His image and likeness, and that in the beginning, when God made man, then God took part of that man and formed a woman and gave unto him. And that is why even this evening, that this which has come down from generation to generation is taking place here this evening, of which we are witnesses. I guess many of us may have been attended a wedding ceremony before, just as we might have attended a funeral or a baptism service. But there's always something special about a wedding, because it takes us right back to the very beginning of time, when back in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, after God had created, seven times we read in the Bible, God said, and it was good. What the Lord made, He saw it was good. And when He made the earth, He saw it was good. And when He made the trees, He saw it was good. And seven times it is mentioned, it is good. But then we read where He says, and the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. That God looked upon man, and as He saw Adam there in the garden, in the midst of all the rest of the creation, and all the rest of the creation was male and female. But the Bible says, but for Adam, there was not a helpmeet for him. But God did it like that for a purpose, because we know if God had intended it, He could have made the man and the woman to begin with, that He didn't even have to say it was good. It wasn't that God realized, well, maybe it wasn't good and maybe I should try and improve on what I have done. We believe that God is perfect, and whatever He does, there's a reason or purpose for it. And for this very cause, that there was a reason or purpose for this also, that when God was doing it this way, He was really revealing something of Himself. Many of us who might be awakened spiritually to recognize that God is reflected, His nature is reflected in His works. You know, you show a woman dressed a certain way, but just by the way the woman dressed, it reflects the nature of the woman. You see a man dressed, it reflects the nature of the man. You see the type of books a man read, the type of music a man like to listen to, the type of pictures a man would have on his wall, you know what type of spirit the man have inside him. Because it reflects in the man's character, in his makeup, what he is, what kind of person he is. You don't have to say a whole lot. As I said, your actions speak louder than your words. And, you know, you see a dog don't go around saying, I'm a dog, for we to know it's a dog. Everybody know a dog, and they could tell a dog from a cat, or they could tell a dog from a horse. But when they see a dog characteristic, they could say that's a dog. When they see a cat, they could say that's a cat. When they see a horse, they could say that's a horse. Because they could recognize it by its identification. Well, God had a purpose that for doing it this way, for letting the man come forth, for letting the man go through that period of loneliness, because it was reflecting something in God's own heart. Because the Bible tells us that there is a day coming when God is to be united with His bride also, that God has a wife, and that God's wife is the church, that Christ is the head and the church is the body, and that the natural marriage is a natural representation, a symbol of God's relationship with His church. In the book of Ephesians, when Paul was speaking about a husband and a wife, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ Love the church. The wife submit herself unto her own husband, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You know, sometimes when you see a man has a knowledge that his body is more than the raiment, you know, Jesus preached that. He saw people who were so trying to dress themselves and, you know, just deck themselves off in nice apparel, and yet, you know, they would consume alcohol and smoke cigarettes and commit fornication, adultery, and defile their own body. He said, isn't the body more than the clothes? And then when he saw men trying, you know, to jog, and, you know, maybe they don't want to eat certain type of foods because they figure that is going to get them sick, you know, and all this cholesterol, and maybe this, you know, is going to produce cancer, and this is not good to eat, and they want to eat all these health foods and different things. He said, but isn't the life more than the body? And, you know, we're back in that type of age when, again, it is needed to be emphasized that we can know what our priorities should be. We should have our priorities in order, that the life is more than the body. What kind of life we live is important. That the body is more important than the raiment. Because God made the body, but man manufactured the clothing. Yet, sometimes you see a man will starve himself just to take his money and dress nice. And, you know, Jesus here in speaking and in showing us that how we ought to love our wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Because God was showing us that this great relationship that a man must have with his wife, he cannot truly relate to his mate, and a mate, the wife cannot truly relate to her husband, if they don't know the real purpose that God instituted the marriage covenant for and what he intended the marriage relationship to reflect. So many times people get married today because of physical attraction, and after a while they see somebody they're more physically attracted to, and right there that's the strength of the marriage. They go into extramarital affairs, they begin to cross the boundaries of the marriage vow and go into illegal marriage relationships and commit adultery, and then they sin before God. But to think the seriousness and the sacredness of a vow, I don't know much of us are married here, but if we were married, it meant we stood in this very same position. Maybe not this kind of wedding, maybe we could be living common law or whatever, but the thing that really marries a person is the vow. Sometimes a man may feel free of the obligation because he say, thank God, me sign a marriage certificate, so nobody can hold me to that. But the Bible shows from the time a man knows a woman sexually, he is morally obligated to marry that woman because he knows her as wife already. So it's a very serious thing, because the same way that God have laid out his word and I've done these things in the Bible is that we might know his ways and the true ways of life. Because what is not of life is death. And what is not of the truth is a lie. We might not want to call it a lie. We might want to, you know, it's acceptable in our eyes. Well, the majority of people find it's okay. Well, the law of the land say nothing too wrong against it. Well, a great person I know going to church, they tell me, well, they might do the same thing if it was in my shoes. Bible says that every man would be a lie, but let God would be the truth. Because heaven will pass away, but God will never pass away. And seeing then that this situation, I guess up till this time, this is the most serious and one of the most important steps that these two young people is making in their lives. He might be about 24 and she about 22 or whatever the ages are. But the thing is that while they have lived upon the face of the earth, apart from maybe accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and dedicating their lives to Him, this is about the most important step that they are making in life. And it's something that when they would stand, and even as they have come here this evening, even to go so far to invite people to come and witness what they're doing, it means to say that it's being done with a degree of sincerity. If people want to do evil, they want to do it in secret. If they're not sure and certain about what they're doing, they're sure not going to invite people to witness what they're doing. They're sure not going to come and sign a legal document and put their writing upon it and affirm that they are making this consciously. They have done this with great consideration. It shows that it is more than just being influenced into doing it. And that's the way it should always be. I'm sure many of you agree with me. That's the way it should be when we approach something like this. Because especially if out of this relationship is going to come for children. If those children will have to look onto somebody as a parent to provide for them, to give them security, to give them instruction and to grow them up, is a life that comes from God that's been placed in under their jurisdiction. Just like we at one time were given by God to our parents and were under their jurisdiction. And we are alive today. Some of us might have had an unfortunate upbringing, had delinquent parents, possible to raise us up. I think you came to listen to the word here, so pay attention to me. So you find that when you look at these things, we realize then that it is something very important. A marriage. A marriage is more than a nice suit of clothing. A marriage is more than some good food we cook and we eat afterwards. By tomorrow, the food will go out in the drought. And that'll be the end of it. The wedding dress may be handed over to somebody else. After a few years, the pictures that was photographed will become faded. Cockroach could be in the album eating it up. But if they have come here with a revelation in their hearts, with a conviction that this is of God, if they have come depending upon God, to whom they believe, have instituted this covenant of marriage, and have drawn them and have worked in their lives and have brought them together that they might stand and make a vow to each other, that they are willing to commit their lives unto Him, that He would govern their lives and He would lead them and they would live according to His word, they could have the greatest of expectation and confidence that regardless of what they will face in life, how dark the days may be, how stormy the times may be for them, how hard the trials and the situations that they might find themselves in, God will never back down from anyone who would come to Him according to His word and in sincerity and faith and obedience make a solemn vow to Him. He will not depart from them. You believe that? I mean, if God don't have that kind of integrity, He's not even deserve to be worshipped as God. For one who deserves worship and absolute obedience, He must have that kind of integrity. He must be that kind of person. And we know God is that kind of person. Then why is so many marriages breaking up? Was it that God's plan of marriage is wrong? Or is man failing to walk in obedience to the marriage covenant the way God laid it out? You know, it's always a problem. Man tries to find a better way than God to do something. He just can't help it. It's in nature in man. God says, do this. It may be too simple, too ordinary. Maybe man likes things complicated. Man likes to experiment. Man is curious. His nature is curious. When he can walk in simple obedience and be assured of God's richest blessings, many times he likes adventure maybe. And he always sees his own downfall. The Bible is full of marriages that to not bad. We see one time it had a man by the name of Ahab, a great king. He had a royal wedding. He married a woman named Jezebel. And it was a kind of mixed marriage, and it really wasn't according to God's word. To not bad for him, to not bad for his own family, but to not bad for the whole nation. Yet the Bible also have marriages that was blessed of God and that turned out to be a real success. We see about Boaz and Ruth coming together in the Bible, and we see them being married and bring forth Obed, and Obed bring forth Jesse, and Jesse bring forth David, and after David came Christ. Yet we see also Adam and Eve was married right here in the Bible. And then the woman, she went into an extramarital affair. She bring forth another child. It caused chaos in the house. It ended up in murder afterwards. One brother killing the next brother, Cain killing Abel. And it caused all the chaos in the earth today. We see in the Bible that Abraham one time was looking for a wife for his son. And he gave special warnings that in choosing a wife, where to choose from. Because when a man is making a choice of a wife, he got to make that prayerfully. A woman is a one of God's creatures that need special understanding. The Bible says deal with her according to knowledge. And so many people, they don't even have a knowledge of that creature. Much more to get himself, because the Bible shows in the beginning that, you know, God made a woman and gave her a place. But today what do we see? A young girl, they had a desire for attention. So she strips herself naked and she goes in the papers. How many times you look in the papers and you think, figure, that could be your sister. Or that could be your mother. Or that could be your niece. Some young girl stripped naked in front of a camera to get a little attention, to get a little popularity. And the newspapers exploiting the morals of somebody who was trying to raise the daughter right and offering maybe a little money and a little popularity to make her a star. Look at that, you want to become a star by becoming cheap and laying on all her virtues and her morals. But then it shows what kind of character is in that woman to begin with. Because a woman's body is sacred. There's no creation like a woman. Woman came forth from man, but out of the woman came both man and woman. When God made a woman, she was the only creation out of the whole of God's creation that could commit adultery. The female dog can't commit adultery. The female cow can't commit adultery. Female goat can't commit adultery. They don't even wear clothes. They don't even know they're naked because they don't have a soul. And did you realize that after God had created everything, male and female, Adam didn't have a mate yet? Then God put the man to sleep. Then God took a rib out from the man. Then God formed the woman. And when God made her, he made her that she have no season. You watch in the natural, the rooster in the yard is more beautiful than the hen. Watch the horse with the big mane is more beautiful than the female horse. Watch the lion is more beautiful than the lioness. What the peacock is more beautiful than the hen. In the animal kingdom, all the male is more beautiful than the female. But in the human race, the woman is made more beautiful than the man. And she was made without a season. And God purposely made her without a season. She could live with Tom, Dick, and Harry. But after such are the ways of our daughter's woman, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and said, I've done no evil. She could be a bad woman, or she could be a good woman. God leave it up to her to see how she is going to hold her virtues. He gave her three virtues. One, sacred womanhood. How she's going to behave herself around other men. A woman must know to conduct herself around other men. She must know that when she's married, she belongs to one man. It's sad to say, so many people don't have that no more. They might have a female glance, but they don't have that virtue. Come lower than a slot dog. Because the animals only mate for bringing forth the young. They don't make for pleasure. Then also, you look and you see, she has sacred motherhood, another virtue. What she's going to do to her babies? When she brings for that child, would she turn it on the street? Or would she take an operation that she can't have no children, tie her tubes or something, so she wouldn't lose her shape? So she wants, because she wants a model. Or God give her body to nurse her young? Or is it to wear a bikini on the beach to parade before men? Women have lost that today. You could hardly find one woman today. Solomon said, who could find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Also, you see them, they go to parties and they put the baby in a babysitter so they can go and party all night. When a woman is to raise up a child, about to train up a child in the word of the Lord, when they get old, they wouldn't depart from it. It's a great responsibility to be married. It's not a Hollywood production. It's not photographers and fashions and so on. No, sir. Because God is going to hold people responsible for the vow that they make. By a man's word, he's justified, and by a man's word, he's condemned. One of these days, a man will stand up and hear all his words and see his own life play back before him. Television proves that everything is being recorded right now. No television, no manufacture a picture in. The camera is only channel that through the ether waves. That is only an instrument to pick up what is in the unseen realm. That's why if they bring a camera right now, a movie camera, they can take this and televise it straight to China or Africa or India, anywhere they want to televise it. Live going on right now. People will see what color clothes you wear, would see how much people in the building, would see everything, would even hear the words being spoken. The camera is not manufacturing the picture, it's only channeling. It just proves to us that everything is being recorded. That's why there's a judgment different. It's all being recorded. And when a man and a woman would stand in God's presence and before witnesses to make a vow like this, to stand in God's word, they do it sincerely and they do it sacredly, because a man's faith don't trust in the beauty of a woman. They trust in the loyalty of the vow that they make together. Because that beauty is going to fade. After a while, she may want a facelift. When the wrinkles start to come, when the teeth start to fall out, you may have to get a dentures. That only lasts for a time. But the character to raise the children, to keep herself virtuous. And then the last virtue was the bed and ground was only for her husband's seed. A woman, when a man, God gives a man a wife, her womb is a sacred place to bring forth life. That is the bedding ground where life comes forth. It's only to receive a husband's seed. Nobody else's seed. It's precious when you look in God's word and realize all these things in the Bible. That's why, you know, we put our confidence in what the scripture says and not what the church is trying to say. Because when we look in God's words, we find the path of life. And those desiring to walk in it, when they see the truth, and they hear the truth, and they see the reality of God's word, realize that God has a purpose for everything that he does. We have a purpose for everything that we do. How much more God has a purpose for everything that he does? Our brother Lawrence and his wife here, Sister Lisa, you know, at one time she was serving the Lord and he really wasn't serving the Lord, and then they had a little mix-up and so on. And God even used that. We sang the song Amazing Grace. This is a picture of grace. This is a picture to show what the grace of God can do. That God's blood and God's grace and God's mercy could straighten up any crooked thing and bring it in God's word. That when we see it in God, when we get back to the word, then we can walk with God. Because back in the beginning, when man fell, God came and slew a lamb and shed his blood to cover man's sin, that man would not have to pay the penalty, that the lamb took the penalty instead. Such is God's grace. And to any life that he might be here, that might be a little crooked up, a little misrepresented, maybe going the wrong direction, the grace of Almighty God, that same amazing grace, to any hungry heart would straighten these things back out. And that's what God did for them. And to see now that they have had their waiting time and they're sitting there sorted out, would they want to go through this? How they will to face up the responsibility? And I want to say the integrity in this young man is very special. I think God has very done something special for him, because he certainly have earned the respect of many of us who have seen him and watched him and examined him closely by the word, to see the humility and the sincerity to walk in God's truth and to take up his responsibility and his position as a son of God. That in this world that is so chaotic and dark and where anything goes and people just willing to accept a lie and just go in it because it allows them to keep on sinning, he's willing to walk in the truth. Young woman here, precious sister, is willing to turn back around, line back up with God's word, and come back under the headship of the word, and now under the headship of her husband, that they can serve God with a clear view of God's will for the life. And I trust this evening that God would richly bless them, and that the Holy Spirit will do something in a special way in their hearts. That this, which is a very important time for them, that something would just come in by God's grace and it would be lasting and permanent. They will know that they are so fully accepted under the banner of God's love and grace. They have confidence to know that God have given them a chance, and that the God who can deliver them and set them on the right path and unite them together in his word and have them to walk and serve him in spirit and truth, even to raise a family that would serve him, and even to establish a home that would be governed by Christian principles, that their very lives could be a light in the community where they live, that this world could see that God's word is true, that God still have people, just like he established his word in the beginning and had watched over his word down through the years, that God's word is still true. It's still being made flesh, it's still being interpreted in the hearts and lives of people who is willing to receive it. At this time, we have a little song. I'd like to ask the sisters to come and sing as we get ready to go into the ceremony.
Of my life, and even with friends, I was so lonely inside. I gave all I had, I was all I could be, but there was never enough. So I tried to fill up my life with all of the things I thought the world could provide, but it was so vain, all vanity. Without Jesus, there was no for he could store up your treasures of silver and gold. Live in your pleasures and maybe grow old. You could love and give, do all that is right, but nothing will work.
This woman to be bride to this man. Dearly beloved, we have gathered here in the face of this company, in the presence of God, to join in holy matrimony this man and this woman, which is honorable as declared by Saint Paul among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy state these two persons present come now to be joined. If there is anyone that is here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony, let them now speak of forever holier peace. I will require and will charge you both, as you will surely answer the day of judgment, when the hearts of all shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now confess it? For be it assured unto you that any persons that are joined otherwise than God would thus allow, their marriage is not lawful. But believing that you have duly considered this solemn obligation that you are about to assume, you are prepared to enter upon the same reverently, discreetly, wisely, and in the fear of God, I shall propose to you the marriage covenant. You will declare the same as you join your right hands together. Will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and health riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live. Will you take this man to be a lawful wedded husband, to live together in this holy matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others, and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live?
Yes, I do.
I will require a token from you that this covenant betwixt you that's been made will always be kept. After the vow is made and that ring is placed on each other's finger, it's actually a seal of the covenant being made between the two of them, because that ring is a memorial of the very things that have been vowed here this evening, and that even as the bride and groom would wait, that they know that there's a sacred responsibility entrusted unto them. Is signified in this very ring, which is the very seal of the covenant itself. So it's good that they took a little time and the patience to really put it on properly by God's grace and caring for each other doing it. Amen. You join your right hands again. Let's just bow our heads and maybe have a special prayer in our hearts for them. Almighty God, Father, as we stand in your presence this evening, witnessing this wedding ceremony, looking at the simplicity of the event as it takes place, of the two people, dear God, making the vows, the words, going out into the ether waves, going into eternity, circling the earth right now. And the rings that they now are wearing, Lord, it speaks something. It's a symbol. It's significant of what they have vowed to each other. The very sacred virtues of this marriage covenant, that they would walk in it in the fear of God, they would be faithful and true to what they have vowed to each other, and that with undying love, as you would give them and continue to give unto them, they are living with each other, it would be so governed by the Christian principles of your holy word that will reflect the great purpose and mystery of Christ in his church. That in this age when the divorce courts are overrun, the broken marriages and more delinquent children go out into the streets as a result of these broken homes, that in this evil age, this great challenge that is before them, they would look to you, the rock, that they can be hidden away in, Lord, where they might find refuge, where they might find shelter in the time of storm. David says, you are rocking a weary land. He says, you set him upon a rock, he shall not be moved. Even like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in due season, the leaves shall not wither. So I pray, dear God, that you would bless this union today. Our brother Lawrence and our sister Lisa, that they would catch the reality by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. This great thing that they have entered into, it will be so rooted and established deep down in their hearts. It will influence their lives. It will motivate them. It will cause them to live for each other. It will cause them to see you in a way that they have never seen you before. Your face, your purpose, your plan for their lives can become so clear. They receive such an inner strength. Stand up, Lord, and truly live godly lives, establishing a Christian home, raising a Christian family that will bring glory and praise unto your name. And that day, Lord God, will never ever regret this day. But as they would always look back, they would think of your goodness towards them. They would come to trust in you. No matter how dark the times may be, our trials, we know it will come. It comes for everyone. But dear God, may, even as Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? May that great and precious love be so shed abroad in their hearts by your Holy Spirit. That even, Lord, as Isaac loved Rebekah and Boaz loved Ruth, and Lord God, even Joseph and Mary, and so many different examples. We can look at Abraham and Sarah, and Aquila and Priscilla. Them which you have given unto us as examples in the scriptures. May you give them peace. May you provide and supply their every need. May you draw them closer to you, Lord. They would abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You would hide them in the secret of your presence. We commit them into your hands. Praying and asking these blessings upon them in the lovely and precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now by the power of my commission given unto me by Almighty God to be his servant and ministered to him by the Holy Spirit, I pronounce this man, this woman, husband and wife, in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, you are married. Amen. Whatsoever God joins together, let no man put asunder. Amen. God bless you, may have a seat there. Just like to express our appreciation for your patience, your time we spent here. The reception is right in the church premises here. So I guess we do want to take some pictures. They could outside or on the grounds while the reception has been made ready. And may God give each and every one a wonderful evening. Amen. Let's just ask God blessing this missile now. Let's bow our heads one more time. Father, we thank you for the time that we have spent. I pray that the word that has been spoken, the very opportunity to be in this gathering to witness this marriage ceremony this evening, would have caused hearts and lives to take consideration and examine their lives by the light of your revealed word. And dear God, that even each and every one of us that is here, that we would benefit from being here this evening. Not just the couple who had been married, but dear God, even all of us who is here to be witnesses. And we'll know, dear God, that one of these days, you will appear. Dear God, your word says that we who are alive and remain in the count of the Lord will not hinder them who are asleep, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we together with them will be caught up to meet you in the air. What a day that would be, Lord, when you come to take your bride and go to that great wedding supper in the skies. I pray that what has been but a little shadow here this evening, God would cause our hearts to enter into that channel, and with great appreciation long for that day and live for that moment, that we can be part of that great bride that would go with you, the bridegroom, when you come. Dismiss us from this place, not from your presence. May you be with the people to remain part of the evening while they rejoice and have a happy time eating and drinking and celebrating this occasion. May, dear God, your Holy Spirit be with them and bless them. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a next song? I always will love you. Amen.